Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orient PEL Limited Q3 and 9M FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suyash Samant from Stellar IR Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Samant.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of Orient PEL Limited, Mr. Aditya Gupta, CEO, and Mr. Himanshu Jindal, CFO, who will represent Orient PEL Limited on the call. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31, 2024, followed by a question-and-answer session. Please note this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Aditya Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Quarter 3 FY25 earnings call. Retail consumption has not been holding up for quite some time, and Q3 was also not too different. Continued slowdown in the exports market, given the volatility on container freights over the last 12 months, has added to the pressure. Steep discounting continued, but OVL has been able to arrest this through a drive on selling more premium products with more GVT and slabs. Despite the overall market gloom, with our sustained efforts on sales and marketing initiatives, we were able to protect our market share. Our revenues have grown by 1.2% over last year to 469 crores. While the demand recovery may take some more time, we have continued to stay on course with a firm belief and thus investments to support making tile shopping easier for buyers, whether it be consumers or our dealers, have continued. Some operational highlights of the last 9 months are: GVT salience has grown to 40%, which is up from 27% last year, 9-month period. Our vitrified mix has improved to almost 58%, highest ever for Orient PEL so far. Our marketing investments continue to be at about 4% of revenues versus an historical run rate of less than 3%. The active Orient PEL tile boutiques, the number has grown to 375, implying a total addition, net addition of 23 more displays in the last 9 months. Some early green shoots are becoming more and more visible now, with projects, both private and government, expected to enter the tiling stage in 2025, which should help OVL in the coming quarters. With this, I request our CFO, Himanshu Jindal, for the financial updates. Over to you, Himanshu.
Thank you, Aditya. Good afternoon, all. Since Aditya has already covered revenues and the initiatives that we have been taking to drive and support sales of more premium products this fiscal, let me give you more insights on our costs and margins. So our sharp focus has helped us save approximately 4% operational cost of production on a like-for-like basis in the first 9 months, which is after factoring constant product mix and stable energy costs. The blended fuel costs too have softened by roughly 14% on a YOY basis. While some portion of this was definitely market-driven, we saved a bit more through our own efforts by optimizing fuel mixes further at both Secunderabad and Hoskote. As a result, our average blended fuel cost was approximately 33 rupees per SCM versus 38-39 SCM per SCM last year. The gas costs have started inching up from Quarter 3 onwards, though. The go-live of our solar PPA at Secunderabad earlier this year has helped us to keep the power cost lower as well. While a significant portion of these savings were indeed passed on to the markets in line with the competition to retain market share, we did retain some piece of this as well, which has helped us improve our overall gross margins to 35.5% roughly, which is an improvement of 1% over the last year. While we continue to support sales via the continued investments on branding, our checks on overall fixed costs have helped, which is why our EBITDA margins have expanded by 2% over the last year. On the balance sheet side, we stay strong as always with very little leverage so far, which allows us more flexibility to take calculated risk to support business as and when the opportunities become available. On that positive note, I think we can open the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Madhu Rati from Counter Cyclical Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, earlier we used to give volume numbers as well as realization numbers. Sir, so please kind of give me the volume and realization for Q3 as well as 9 months and similarly for these two periods.
I missed the name. Can I? Madhur. Okay. Yeah, hi. See, I think we mentioned on the last call also, starting Q2, we've been holding on to volumes as a number. The moment I give volumes, obviously ASPs are available. Now, the rationale for this is two or three reasons, yeah. One, you know we do only tiles versus all our peers who are much more diversified. So our revenues in a way are quasi, you know, they in a way reflect what we are doing in the markets. The other point is very strategic. See volumes in isolation are not KPIs when you are trying to drive multiple angles, you know, especially premiumization. So, you know, there have been investments into CapEx, there have been investments into branding, and all of this is being done to change the product mix significantly from where we were. And this is why you're seeing gains on GVT, especially on Vitrified. Now, giving too much out in the public domain also sometimes becomes counterproductive strategically on operations on a day-to-day basis, yeah? So I think we are holding on to it for now. Maybe after the full year results are out, when we publish the annual report, maybe the volumes can come in that time with a bit of a lag. Should be okay? Anything more that you want to ask, please?
Yes, sir. So the second question was on the margin side. So we've constantly spoken about these cost-saving initiatives that we have done as well as branding initiatives that we are doing. So for what kind of margins do we expect, like for the Q4? So from this 4.5-5% kind of margin, where do we see our margins going over the FY26 and over the next 2 to 3 years?
See, Madhur, I think we need to understand the initiatives that we have taken, whether it's on the, you know, it's largely on the variable cost side, yeah? So we've been holding on to cost, we have been optimizing it wherever possible to keep our gross margins intact or to be better than the industry, yeah? Fixed costs, you know, we have been scaling it up, we have been optimizing it wherever we need to, but largely we are supporting multiple initiatives at this point in time, especially on the people on the sales and the marketing front. In the absence of enough volumes, somewhere the operational leverage is not playing out at the moment for the last few quarters. And therefore, EBITDA is what it is. Yeah, there have been conscious calls, like we explained previously also, that we are supporting branding much more than before. So there is a hit to the P&L in the short to medium term. Let's see how the margins develop, but I think our gross margins are largely in our control. No figurative guidances for the moment, huh?
Okay, got it. So can we expect some kind of improvement in gross margin, or can we expect this to maintain, sustain going forward?
It should be in line with the market, better than the market for sure. I think we have been demonstrating that very, very, consistently now for the last many quarters.
Okay. So just a final question from my side. So when the industry is not doing well, we are doing marketing and branding initiatives. So at what point do we decide, are we going in the right direction, or what is the minimum return on our investment that we would expect for these initiatives in a market downtrend that is going on?
The market is not doing well. You are right. Yeah, we are supporting. We want to continue building the brand image of OVL. The awareness has to be there. What you need to remember, like Aditya mentioned, the projects are now going to get into tiling stage soon. Now the point is, should I discontinue these investments in the short term and give you a joy on the P&L, or should I wait, continue supporting brand awareness with a very clear hope that as and when the projects in the retail demand is back, I am the first one to be picked up by consumers. Yeah. So I think with that belief, I think these investments are continuing. Yes, we keep optimizing our spends on a quarter-to-quarter basis, on a month-to-month basis, depending on what works, what doesn't. If there is some learning coming in, we take that and then decide on the next course. Okay?
Okay, sir. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Hrishikesh from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. So, sir, you mentioned about some marketing expenses that we have been taking. Can you please let us know what marketing expense you have taken for this quarter as a percentage of your revenues?
See, we are at 9 months, we are about 4% of our total revenues. That's the marketing spend. And in terms of what exactly contributes marketing expenses, so we have been on TV, including in the last quarter. And we do a lot of digital marketing, so all social media platforms see a lot of investment from our side. And apart from that, there are investments in product collaterals, in shop branding, and does that answer your question?
Yes. Also, I got a sense that this is over and above normal marketing expenses because the market itself is down, so you're trying to push more into marketing. Can you just give us a sense what kind of normal marketing expense you would do if once market gets better?
So, we are talking about ratios. So because market is down, 4% kind of looks still does not add up to as much as one would want it to be. So if the revenues had been better, growing at least with a double-digit we would maybe have taken a call to do more than 4% than that what we are doing today. As I said, I think I mentioned that about 1.5 years back when we started TV. I think actually December 24, when we started our TV burst first time, that we are planning to for the next couple of years for foreseeable future to invest aggressively in the marketing, in building of a brand. I also mentioned that how our GBT growth has outpaced the company growth rates, and that's only been possible because of what we are doing on the brand side to make it more acceptable to a more premium kind of customer. So I envisage that this will continue. The exact amount would vary slightly depending on how responsive the market condition is. But if you're asking for a future this thing and all, the intent is to keep investing in marketing as much as possible.
Got it. Also, sir, we are currently on a around annual revenue run rate of around 700 crores. Would it be fair to say that we have a capacity to do almost around 1,000 crores of revenue? And also with a lot of real estate projects coming up and there's a lot of pre-sales booking which are happening, how do you see us achieving that 1,000 crore number?
So, actually more than 1,000 crores, we have enough say, capacity between our JVs and our own manufacturing to easily hit the number, to cross the number that you have quoted. That's one. On the second part, there are different strategies which are playing out. That's why I think in spite of a very bad market in the first 9 months, we have still managed to keep ourselves afloat. In terms of strategy, we are trying to build up our sales teams and distribution capabilities in southern India, south and west, which have historically been very weak for us. I have already talked about the product side, that this whole premiumization piece is something we are pushing very, very aggressively. There are a lot of new products which have been launched in the last 9 months. Same size, different designs or new design or new sizes and all, which will continue.
Could you share a visibility of when can we achieve the 1,000 crore figure?
See, historically we have stayed away from giving any futuristic guidelines. Simply because ours is a very, very cyclical market, and given how much dependent we are as an industry, the domestic industry, on exports and how much gets exported from Morbi and stuff like that, it's kind of difficult to forecast how things will go. As I said earlier, 2025, we are hopeful that the export scenario for the Indian tile industry will improve because the freights are lower today than what they were in, say, September, October, November. And if this trend continues and there is better demand coming up internationally, so a lot of the spare capacity of Morbi, which is getting diverted into India, domestic market will kind of go back into exports, and the domestic business will bounce. But we will not be giving out any future projections about next year revenues or next quarter revenues.
Got it, no problem. This last one question. Earlier we used to do around 8 to 10% EBITDA margin. So just wanted to get a sense that what has to happen that, you know, in coming going ahead, we would again do that 8 to 10% margin range. I understand that our marketing expense are not going to slow down. So where would the how would you bridge this gap?
So I think Himanshu kind of briefly mentioned this. This gap, what you see today, we are in the 5% range, going up to the 8 to 10% range, is largely the single biggest driver of that would be operating leverage, which is basically our volumes going up with a similar listing. If we kind of go for volumes at very steep discounting to the market, obviously, we are not going to hit that 8% plus margin. But given we are the kind of similar margins, a similar pricing strategy that we have followed, if we are able to take up our volumes by about, I would say, 20-odd percent, definitely 20-30%, definitely we would be in the EBITDA margin range that you have talked about.
Got it. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aman Agarwal with Avixat Financial Advisory. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon, sir. I would like to know that we have expanded our capacity in couple of last quarters. I would like to know इसके सबसे जो हमारा GVT का process है वहाँ से हमारी क्योंकि हमारी sales तो constant है almost flat है last 2-3 quarters से
और जो हमारी जीबीटी की लाइन पे और विट्रीफाइड की टाइल्स हैं उसमें हमें ग्रोथ मिली, तो क्या हमारी सेरेमिक की सेगमेंट में काफी डीप ग्रोथ हो रही है सर?
बिल्कुल, आई थिंक दैट इज एग्जैक्टली. सेरेमिक्स हैव नॉट बीन डूइंग वेल हिस्टोरिकली. हमारी सेरेमिक कैपेसिटी वॉज द बल्क ऑफ कैपेसिटी दैट ओरिएंट बेल हैड, एंड लास्ट 3 to 4 years वी हैव इन्वेस्टेड सिग्निफिकेंटली. Today our capacity including our JVs is upwards of 40 million square meters per year, which I think 4 or 5 years back was maybe about 25 to 30 million square meters. So we have added a lot of capacity which has largely gone into GVT. We have added it in a very cost efficient manner with hardly any debt on our balance sheet, largely coming out of internal accruals. Unfortunately, the market for the last couple of years has been sluggish, so we have not been able to monetize it as fast as what we would want to. But as the market improves, I think we are in a great position to start growing that to start growing volumes.
So, in the ceramic capacity, on the volumes we develop with along with prices, or prices are stable with volume develop of demand.
Aman, can you please repeat your question? I'm not very clear.
I'm saying in the ceramic segment, our volumes degrowth or prices degrowth for the demand scenario.
So Aman, volumes are degrowth. Obviously, you see, if in GVT, इसमें बोला है कि जीबीटी सेलियंस इज अप 13% ईयर ऑन ईयर, 27% का 40% हुआ जीबीटी सेलियंस एंड रेवेन्यूज आर अप ओनली बाय 1.5%. सो यस, यू आर एब्सोल्युटली राइट, द सिरेमिक सेल्स इन वॉल्यूम टर्म्स इज लोअर देन व्हाट इट वाज लास्ट ईयर.
ओके, एंड माय नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज, क्योंकि हमारी कैपेसिटी और रफली 50-50% है सेरेमिक और जीबीटी के अंदर, तो फ्यूचर स्ट्रेटेजी हमारी सेरेमिक को लेके क्या होगी? मतलब उसको उस टेक्नोलॉजी की कैपेसिटी को हम धीरे जीबीटी में कन्वर्ट करेंगे या सेरेमिक में रख के ही उन्हीं को सेल करने वाला, मतलब क्या स्ट्रेटेजी नेक्स्ट 2 to 3 years का डाउन द लाइन?
सो अमन, दो तीन चीजें चल रही है. यस, देखो मार्केट में जीवीटी इज द थिंग विच इज ग्रोइंग. सिरेमिक्स इज विद इन द मार्केट ऑल्सो, सिरेमिक्स इज नॉट दैट फैशनेबल एंड डेवलपिंग कैटेगरी. अल्टीमेटली अगर आप लॉन्ग टर्म बात करेंगे तो आई सी अ लॉट ऑफ दिस सिरेमिक कैपेसिटी मूविंग इन टू जीवीटी. But as I said a couple of minutes back, we have over the last 3-4 years built substantial capacities on GVT, which are today available to us. And once the market turns, so I don't see a requirement for any in-house, big investments for capacity enhancement. As I had answered the earlier question also that. We clearly have enough and more capacity between us and our JVs to cross 1,000 crore plus top line, irrespective of whatever mix of GVT and ceramics you take. So, अभी in the near future, हम नहीं सोच रहे कि हम कोई major line को convert करेंगे from ceramics to GVT. But time के साथ definitely that's a call that we have to take.
Okay. And next question is regarding the industry. Now, what's the situation at Mavi regarding the prices and all those things, and the export market competing the next previous financial year?
Aman, मुझे समझ नहीं आया आपका question, थोड़ा वापस repeat करना पड़ेगा.
Sorry. Sure. My question is that अब इस इंडस्ट्री की डिमांड कैसे दिख रही है आपको, एंड सेकंड रिगार्डिंग एक्सपोर्ट मार्केट डिमांड?
देखो सी अमन, सो आई वाज लास्ट ऑलमोस्ट द होल वीक आई वाज इन मोरबी एंड आई मस्ट हैव मेट एटलीस्ट सम 35 प्लस वेरियस वेंडर्स एंड सो पीपल आर कॉशियसली होपफुल.
that with you know, these peace talks, the disagreement between Hamas and Israel, they are hoping that some of the bottlenecks, some of the problems which have been impacting freight rates and insurance charges and all will start getting sorted out. Having said that, there is a lot of uncertainty in terms of how these geographies, the market in these geographies will go. Indian tiles are extremely price competitive and extremely good on quality. So I think that these two things we have got it right. If the markets abroad are decent, I foresee a lot of the capacity which lot of Morbi capacity which has been diverted into the domestic market will go back to exports, and that will give us, you know, we need 5-10% of the 10% of the capacity or 5% of the capacity to get diverted into export, and the whole market can just pivot around domestically.
Okay. One last question from my side. As हमने southwestern market हमारा अभी तक काफी weak था in terms of distribution and our tiles presence showroom. So उसकी क्या strategy है future में, क्योंकि हमारा expansion तो हो गया डोरा capacity और हमारा joint venture के साथ. So उस strategy क्या रहेगी future में?
See, अभी तो हम we are strengthening our sales teams there, adding more people. We have started working on a lot of demand generation activities there, which is with architects, with various government departments, and even going down to the level of missions. Unfortunately, the market has not been very responsive, and because of the pressure on discounting, you know, every month the discounting has been more than the previous rates. So dealers have also been kind of cutting down their inventories. So it has, unfortunately, all the investments and all the efforts that we have done in the recent past, over the last 1 year, since the new Dora GVD capacity came online, has not given us the kind of volumes that we had hoped for. So, but we are continuing on the same 3-4 activities. We are investing on the brand. We are shoring up our teams. We are looking at what kind of customers and what kind of demand generation activities we go ahead with, and that effort will continue. We're just waiting for the tipping point to happen.
Sure. Thank you, and well wishes for your business.
Thank you, Amar.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Avinash Bhaskar with Quality. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is just to understand, let's say all these players in Morbi, there are no exports. So what happens to the market? So do they have a dealer network that they can tap into? How do they just spread the market? Because on one hand, we are doing a lot of branding initiatives, working with dealers to build our capacity. So how is it possible for them to, you know, when they export? Is it like they give a substantial discount to what the prevailing rates in the market are?
Yeah, so I think, you said that. So what I've understood from your question is how easy or difficult it is for Morbi players to dump their stuff in the domestic market. Is that the question?
Yes, correct.
So I think it is much more easier than what I would have wanted it to be. And the two levers that they use one is discounting, the other is longer credit periods. जब बिक जाएगा तो पैसा दे दीजिएगा आप तो मेरे भाई हो टाइप्स एंड सम ऑफ देम नॉट ऑल बट सम ऑफ देम आर ऑल्सो नॉट वेरी एथिकल इन टर्म्स ऑफ कंप्लायंस विच डेफिनेटली मेक्स द प्राइस दे ऑफर इवन मोर even more attractive to the dealer. So these are the two, three factors. They don't invest, you're right, they don't invest in brand, they don't invest in building up our sales team and all. It's largely telephone marketing, saying that, okay, this is my rate, this is all I'm willing to do for you, or the call and all, and that's it. So a lot of the lower end of the market kind of gets taken away by them.
Got it. That's super helpful. The second question that I just have to understand, because I'm little new to this entire industry, should I think of it like the paints industry where the middlemen have a lot of power and ultimately whoever does a good job in engaging with the distributors and the middlemen would be the ones who have a large share of market, or again, this is going to be consumer school driven? How should I just think about this entire style?
So I think million-dollar question. It is not as evolved as the paint industry. Now, if you see, take if you kind of just ignore the recent happenings in the paint industry in the last 6-12 months, typically paint industry was one where the top four players were holding 80% of the market. Versus in the tile industry, if you add up all the revenues of the listed companies, all of them put together will be about 9,000 odd crores in a market which is about almost 50,000 crores including exports. So paint industry 80%, top 4-5 players, tile industry 20%, top 4-5 players. So it's very different. That's one. I think tile is somewhere in the middle. Unfortunately, once the tile is actually installed, you don't see the brand of the tile. That's not visible, unlike in sanitary ware, faucet, or anywhere. So the dealer ends up, historically, the dealer has played a very, very important role in the tile industry. What he chooses to stock makes a big difference. The role of branding has been increasing. It's kind of becoming more and more important because just to differentiate yourself, you need to have that consumer franchise, and I think that's the path that we have been trying to follow digitally, and for the last 1 year now using many more marketing, many more media vehicles like TV and all. That's the way we are trying to go. It will take time. It will not change overnight, but I think with every passing year, the consumer is getting a lot more savvier than what she used to be earlier, with respect to tiles I'm talking of.
Yeah, got it. Can I ask one more question? The moderator.
Yeah.
Okay, I just maybe squeeze one more in. So just for me to kind of visualize, right, I know that you're doing a lot of initiatives like the Quick Look, revamping the website, marketing and all of this. So maybe 5 or 10 years down the line, how do you see this company? And it's like, would we be taking market share from these unorganized players a lot more, or are we going to compete head-on with some of the leaders and then get market share from them? And, where will we be stronger than some of the players, and where would we kind of give up telling that, okay, this is not a place that we want to be? And I'm purely talking from, 5, 8, 10 years, whenever all these initiatives fructify and, give us some sort of advantages in the market. So just from that perspective, what is like the vision that where this would play?
So I really don't have an answer to the question from where we will win more market share, because unlike, as I said, other industries, our industry is kind of extremely splintered. And but let me tell you where we will get our growth from. Not from whom will we get our growth, but where will we get our growth from. I think let me talk more consumer than competitor, because ultimately that is what makes more sense. I don't know which competitor will I gain more or less from. But I'm very clear in terms of which is the consumer segment that will drive my growth over the next 5 to 10 years. Both consumer and product. So on product, I would say it would be a GVT. It would be more of a bigger size slab. The whole premiumization of our product portfolio, that is going to be a growth driver for us. From a consumer perspective, I would say that informed B2B buyers like architects, that's a segment which we have, which we are very weak in, is one which is going to contribute a lot more aggressively to us over the next five years. In terms of geographies, I would see both south and west becoming much bigger contributors to our overall revenues than what they are today.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you so much.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Avinash Bhaskar from Quality. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. I think I got lucky again. So just a couple of more questions from my side. So one dichotomy that I'm just seeing is on one hand, we continuously see all this news that real estate is in an upcycle. There is a lot more flats that are coming up, etc., right? Whereas here, the building products are not following that. So I just want to understand, is this pricing pressure that we are facing, of course, I understand there's a component of exports, but has the supply side also expanded something drastically in the last 2 to 3 years or something which is contributing to this entire problem?
See, Avinash, Manshu this side. You're right, in a way the supply glut at Morbi. So what has really happened over the last 4 or 5 years? So while post-COVID, the demand came back with a bang, both from retail and projects, you also saw supply coming up thereafter. Yeah? So 23, 24, a lot of supply glut came into Morbi, and also the organized players also pushed in a lot more capacities. Yeah? Today, unfortunately, the way the demand is, both on the retail and the project side, it's not the best. Yeah? So oversupply, less demand, both are contributing to what you are seeing today. Having said that, over the last 12 odd months, very little capacity has come into Morbi. Yeah? The other side that you should also know, a lot of inefficient old capacities have been weeded out. So there are more than 300 factories in Morbi which have been permanently shut down. Okay? There is another thing that you should know, and this is something to note, you know, I think the others can take a note as well. What we are hearing is, again, in the month of February, there is a planned shutdown by Morbi. Yeah, so they are planning to shut down all the GVT lines. Let that happen and then you'll see. Yeah, so in a way, Morbi is becoming more and more clear that, you know, they can produce, they can't sell, especially when the export markets are not doing well. So let's see how the markets evolve. Does that answer?
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I understood that the supply followed the demand and then kind of there is a two-way problem. Thank you so much for that. And the last thing is, so I understood this initiative on this quick look cataloging and working with some dealers to do that. So do those dealers currently, do you see them selling more of generally tiles overall and also, you know, our brand tiles? Is there like, you know, a positive correlation between the investments we make and the results that those dealers derive?
Yeah, so you know, we see a very strong correlation between usage of quick look and the business volume of that dealer. We are seeing it across the country. The challenge which we are now trying to solve is that how to make quick look far more easier for the dealer to use, because while we have a large number of dealers, 600 plus, who are very active users of this, but unfortunately we need not 600, we need maybe 1200, 1500 dealers to start using it as actively. And our trade is not very tech-savvy. They are actually tech-phobic, if I may say so. So that has been we got these first 5-600 people to use it, but the next 5-600 we are seeing a challenge to kind of make them comfortable with technology, and there's some new product features and all which we are working on. Hopefully we will launch it in the current quarter to take away that tech phobia which a lot of people have.
Got it. And so do these dealers, are they exclusive dealers, or they can be multi-brand dealers, of which, you know, they are just one of their brands?
See, the way we work is they have given exclusive space, a showroom, what we call an Orient by Style boutique, to us to display our products. So from that perspective, there would be there is an exclusive space where only Orient by products are being displayed and talked about. They might have another area where they are selling some other brand. That's quite possible. But they can't use QuickLook for the other listing and all, because it's a proprietary tool which only works with my tile designs and products and SKUs.
And are these tiles like standardized? For example, let's say, can I see a tile on QuickLook and tell, hey, this looks great. What is the cheapest tile you have for this particular, you know, green marble finish, this size SK? So are the SKUs like super standardized, so I can just see it in QuickLook and then sell the lowest cost one?
So we offer something like that on our website. So as a consumer, if you go to my website, you can actually get a MOP kind of a figure there. And it's on my website, you actually fill up a very small, simple form which identifies the PIN code of where you want supplies. Then we are able to give you a much, much more accurate cost estimate of what that particular tile will cost you at that particular location. This is important because, you know, unlike in other categories, which are the billing from the company is FOB, but in our case, freight is, in our industry, freight is being paid by the dealer. So we basically work on ex-factory prices, you know, 300 rupees per square meter or whatever it is, and the landed cost to a dealer in Guwahati is very different versus a dealer sitting in Delhi.
Okay. Cool. That's it from my side. Thank you so much for patiently.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Amar Agarwal with Avikshat Financial Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for giving me the opportunity. You have mentioned that in coming pairs, the GBT lines at Mumbai will be shut down. Is it because of very lack of demand, or is it something else?
So Aman, I try and answer that, Himanshu, again. As of now, there is this news which is emerging from Morbi that they are planning to take a shutdown. How effectively this gets done, we still need to see. In the past, they have been taking this shutdown in the month of August. Yeah, largely in the last 3-4 years, you've seen that happening there. Now, what are the reasons for that? Reasons are very simple. You know, the domestic demand is not great. You take shutdowns because you can't sell otherwise, right? Why unnecessarily store? More importantly, I think last 12 months, with the container freight issues, yeah, with the freights being so volatile, getting spiked up, coming down, going up again, etc., you know, the exports haven't happened the way they should have, right? So that's one reason, you know, why, you know, there's no joy producing and storing it in your warehouses, especially for Morbi, yeah, unless they can dispatch, why produce? I think this is a very simple logic that they are following right now, and that in a way helps us also.
So Aman, there was the Morbi GVT Association had met up, I think 3 weeks or 4 weeks back also, and there was some discussion that in the month of January they will close GVT units. It did not happen. So let's see. They might come to an agreement for next month or so. We will know only when it happens.
Yeah.
But the bigger picture here is that they are also a kind of not finding it easy. So looking at various alternatives to kind of cut down their costs. So let's see what they decide. And when it happens, we'll know.
Okay. I have one last question. In last couple of 9 months or years, so our sales from our own Oriental textile showrooms, tile showrooms, sorry, it remained constant, like 43 to 45% of our sales. And in this past 12 months also, we have invested aggressively on marketing on through social media and all those platforms. So I would like to know ki वहाँ से मतलब हमारा ज़्यादा share generate क्यों नहीं हो पाया कि हमारी स्ट्रेटेजी में कोई कमी है या फिर बिल्कुल ही और रीजन है प्राइस डिमांड.
You know, your voice was not very audible, but whatever little I picked up, you were right. The OBTB per se, yes, the displays have gone up. Not that they have not. They have increased from 350, 352 as on March to something like 375 now. So there is a net addition happening for sure. Please do remember, this is the count of the active displays, yeah? So which means there are displays going out, there are new displays getting added at the same time. So the net addition and those who are working for us taking billing consistently, that's 375. It's gone up marginally as well in terms of the sales that we made from them. Markets, you know, already have been very choppy, yeah? They are not the best, unfortunately. But let's see how it goes.
Okay, sure. Thank you for taking my question. And well wishes for the business.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Risha Mehta with Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have just one question. So if we see, the Leader has also gotten into tile adhesives, because that also seems like to be like a 5,000 crore market and you know, decently high double-digit EBITDA margin. So the question here is that are we already present in this segment? And if not, then do we have any plans and why not? If you could just comment on that.
Okay, sure. So we are not present in this segment now, but this is something which we are evaluating and exploring. And if we decide to launch it, we will let you know.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Karan Bhatelia with Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please. Carry on.
Yeah, sir, we've mentioned of steep discounts in Morbi in our initial comments. So can we have some quantification? It could be in higher single digit or in mid-teens. And with gas costs now again inching up from December, do we think this discounting has kind of bottomed?
Unfortunately, it's not bottomed out. Yes, there have been two price increases in the last 2-3 months, 2.5-3 rupees per cubic meter every time. But that has really not, it has really slowed down the discounting, but it has not really kind of stopped it. And it's because of these higher gas pricing and all that maybe people in Morbi are today talking about curtailing production and taking shutdowns and all. Now to your question, in terms of quantifying it, I would say that from October, say 4 months back to now, there would have been maybe some 3% odd change in extra discounting which would have happened. Very difficult to say, so many different sizes of tile, so many different finishes and stuff.
Right.
But 2-4% you can say that they would be in the last 4 months or so.
and YTD could be higher single digit?
Yeah, YTD would be compared to FY24, yes. YTD would be YTD would be at least 5-6% plus, maybe 5-8% or so in that range.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Of,
that's it from my end.
Because the product mix keeps changing so much.
Right. Understood.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Himanshu Jindal for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you so much for your interest and patience in OPL. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Stellar IR Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.